What's up? This is Boovies on Up, and it's October, our favorite month of the year. So sit back, join us month-long as we talk about a lot of horror movies.
What's up? This is Boovies on Up. We are in our final five, our final girls.
It's our eighth episode, and I just can't stop cringing at Boovies on Up.
Boovies on Up. This is our top five.
This is our Nancy of episodes.
Yes, our five greatest horror movies of all time. And the Nancy to my Freddy, seated right across from me, Mr. Dave Bacella.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great Nancy impersonation. I am Ryan. We are Movies on Up, and this is our next to last episode for the month of October. We're going to give you our five favorite horror movies of all time, and then we'll hit you with our Halloween episode on Halloween.
But before we get into our top five ever, let's do our final of the month. I just want to do, we did it last week where Ryan went through his favorites of mine that he didn't originally have that didn't make the list. So these are just my favorite Ryan picks that didn't make my list. And didn't make the final list. He had Night of the Creeps, which that was one that it really just didn't make mine because I kind of forgot about it.
I unabashedly love that. But we had Slither on there, so that's okay.
I think we've done an episode on Night of the Creeps? I know we've talked about it quite a bit.
I don't think so. I put it on a lot of lists.
Devil's Backbone, that's the only director I think that, like, yeah. We've talked about Guillermo del Toro, where everything he directs feels like a horror movie, but is it a horror movie? He's the only one that I regret not having on this list from a director standpoint. Zombie, the original.
Lucio Fulci. Yeah.
Yeah, Fulci's another one. Stakeland?
Yeah.
Really cool vampire movie.
I'm surprised that one didn't sneak in there somewhere for you, because I think you like it more than I do.
I do like it. And then It Follows, which I like. Maybe not as much as you. I love Make 'em in Row, but I think my expectations were too high for it.
I listed a lot of movies, and that one was kind of low. And I think I more or less put it on there because I was thinking that you might.
It was your 68.
Okay. 68 out of what? 75 or 78? Yeah. So I don't take any offense to having that one snubbed off the list.
Oh, and then Bride of Frankenstein.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Bride of Frankenstein.
That's probably the highest one on your list that I didn't have.
Yeah.
Or that didn't make it.
Yeah. That was...
Actually, that was 40. So
I still felt like when we talked about Nosferatu and all the other Universal monster movies, those were so great, and I love those so much. And Monster Squad's a movie that we talked about. Gremlins, is it a horror movie? Ghostbusters, Monster Squad, probably more of a horror movie than Ghostbusters is.
Yeah, and we didn't. I was thinking of that, like, oh crap, that's one we should have mentioned on last episode.
Yeah, but to me, talking about those Universal monster movies, you can't not. Someone our age can't not talk about Monster Squad. And that was Bride of Frankenstein, I think it's the best of the Universal monster movies. It's not necessarily the most iconic or the one you think about the most, but that was my attempt to make sure we got one of those on the list. Because spoiler alert.
And we didn't.
We didn't. None of them are going to be in our top five. But what is in our top five? Our top five starts with a Wes Craven movie and quite possibly the most famous guy on our list. And I don't mean Wes Craven. I do mean Robert Englund's alter ego, Freddy Krueger, in the original Nightmare on Elm Street from 1984, also starring Nancy, Heather Langenkamp, and Johnny Depp. Make no mistake that of all the killers in the 80s, maybe he was not the most popular, maybe he was, but no one was more charismatic than
the most fun.
Englund's, yeah, absolutely. The most fun, the one you'd want to party with. Long before I had seen the movie, I knew full well who Freddy was and probably had some nightmares before seeing the movie, which got even worse after you see Jim Doyle, who did the mechanical effects for this movie, the bed of blood and the wall crawl. There's so many, the stairs. This movie is packed with so many just mind-blowing, for now, let alone 1984. Like, how the hell did they do that? It is literally the stuff of nightmares.
And I think that's what sets it apart is this one, Freddy was a child molester that was murdered. So he hadn't really morphed into this comedic figure. Like, he still had personality, he still had charisma, but it wasn't as fun of a movie. And it was just a straight shooting horror movie, and it was good. I think what's always separated Nightmare from the others is the personality, where Jason's going to smack some people against a tree, going to cut some heads off. Mike Myers is going to stab some people.
Freddy's the one that talks.
Freddy's the one that talks, and the kills are so creative because they're so, you don't have limits.
Right.
It's dream world. You can do anything, and they're all personally catered. Anybody that's seen these movies can probably name off four or five that stick out to him. Like, you didn't really have that a lot in the first one. I think Johnny Depp's death is one of the best of the series. The first one, they weren't as personalized, but you had the video game one, the deaf one.
The needles.
Like, the needles, like, you all throughout.
That was all Dream Warriors, wasn't it?
It was.
Yeah, well.
Well, that's why three was in my top 20. Yeah. You think of them, and you just have all these, and it's such a good franchise. And, I mean, two was a misstep, but then three, kind of on, and what separates this and New Nightmare is they didn't go as much for the comedy. They went for the horror movie, and it nailed it.
Our number four is probably, I feel like it was higher on your list than four.
No, the reason this it was the based on the formula I was using for the top 10, this should be higher. It should be number two, but it was number four on both of our lists, so I had to leave it at number four.
So it seemed four was where Danny Boyle's 28 Days Later from 2002 was always destined to be, starring Cillian Murphy, Naomi Harris, and Christopher Eccleston. Zombies aside,
Infected.
Whatever. Yeah. This is. We've had that discussion. It is certainly an infected.
We've done an episode
movie
on this.
Right.
Subpar sequel.
The first several minutes of this movie, not that the rest of the movie is bad, but flawless. Any aspiring director should watch Murphy's wake up sequence, and just kind of how he progresses through the city from there. That's how you tell a story.
That's how you set the tone.
Yeah.
That's how you build the world. I've said many times, this is my favorite movie ever. If it comes to, like, when I'm on my deathbed, what's your favorite movie that if you
You're
had
gonna
to watch?
You're going to be watching that one nude as well?
Yes, yeah, with my small little danger, like Cillian Murphy. I love this movie. It's hard to justify. Like, yeah, do I consider it my favorite horror movie? Probably not. My favorite movie ever, because it's so much more, I think, than a horror movie. Like, it's shot beautifully. Like, I love Danny Boyle. It's shot wonderfully. It's acted amazingly. It's got the every death matters check. It's got the humans are more of a threat than the threat check. Those are like my horror movie. That's the consistency among my favorite horror movie stuff is that. And the performances are so good. And it's another one that kind of transitions from a survive on the road movie to, oh, there is no such thing as a safe space kind of movie. And it's so good. The dialogue. It's Alex Garland, who probably one of my favorite screenwriters of all time, because the dialogue in this movie, there's so many quotable lines. Even the letter from his parents to him, like, it's so impactful, and there's so much emotion packed into it. I absolutely love this movie. I was happy to see it so high on yours, because I know you don't hold it in as high regard as I do.
It's not like all-time movies for me. It's really good. But when I think of horror movies, and even zombie movies, we've got a couple zombie movies in our top five. I think this is the second best zombie movie ever made. And it just so happens that I also think that it's better than 45 other movies.
Yeah, and I mean, we've had the conversation. It's not a zombie movie,
right,
but
yeah,
it is a zombie movie.
Yes.
Like, they're not zombies, but this is a zombie movie.
Right.
So don't email us like, oh, it's not a zombie movie. We know it's not a zombie movie, but it is.
I'm just being lazy at this point with my nomenclature.
I'm exhausted. We've done a month in the last hour and a half.
Yeah, we've been here literally for the last 4 weeks. We haven't moved, and we're sitting in
our
own
why we decided of feces. October of all months to do them live in real time.
Fuck it. We'll do it live. Number three, I think, is another one where, you know, the deaths matter. And I think it's an all-time great horror movie from a guy that I don't know that he's a prolific director. But I don't think when you think of horror, you think of Wes Craven. I'm not sure that you think of Ridley Scott, but you ought to. Because 1979's Alien is really freaking good. Starring Sigourney Weaver, Tom Skerritt, Yaphet Kotto. Making a horror movie can be as simplistic as Jaws on a spaceship. But when you add in great creature design by H.R. Giger and the atmospheric filmmaking that Scott has been known for throughout his career, with one of the biggest badasses ever to grace the screen in Ellen Ripley.
The Survivor Girl.
Right.
Of Survivor Girls.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is a year after Laurie Strode, but and I don't want to compare and contrast the two because they were both pretty badass. But Lori just didn't die. You know, Ripley
survived.
Right. She survived. And, you know, when you put her through Aliens as well, which also made the list, that woman is a badass. And Alien is terrifying. We don't have any Hitchcock movies on the list, which may surprise you given how much I love that guy. But Alien, until you really fully see the alien, and it takes, I mean, you see the chest burster thing, and that's technically all the alien at that point. But until you see, like, the fully grown alien in its magnificence, I mean, it's terrifying up until that point. And most of what you see, it's that sense of dread, knowing what's about to happen because of where everyone is placed. And that, to me, is what Hitchcock was so good with. He was as great as Psycho was, and it is a horror movie, sure. It's a wonderful suspense movie. You know, you're waiting for that release of the tension. And Alien, I think, does a great job of being a bit of a slow burn. We meet the crew. We go to LV-426. Kane gets that thing on his face. Oh, that really sucks. They bring him back to the ship, and they keep throwing logs on the fire till by the time shit really starts going down.
It goes down.
It does.
And our top three are similar in a way that they're, after the setup, they're kind of bottle movies, which I think if you do it well, you add that claustrophobia. So Alien isn't the only monster in this movie. The atmosphere is, too. Like, there's nowhere to go. There's no escape. You can't just survive. You have to win.
Help's not coming.
Yeah, there's no help coming. There's no getting away. You have to beat this thing. You have to face this thing and beat it. It's just so good. I don't know if we've done an episode on Alien.
No.
I know we've talked about it any chance we get, because we do love this movie. That's why it's our number three.
Yeah. The two movies that we like more than Alien, one of which is from a director that we've mentioned twice already, who appears on
both
our
in
list.
The top 15.
Yes. Yeah. That's the thing. No director, not John Carpenter, not Wes Craven, Dario Argento, nobody.
Sean S. Cunningham,
Steven Spielberg, technically. No one makes as many appearances on this list as George Andrew Romero. And our number two is, obviously, we believe, I mean, it's his best. It's his masterpiece. It is 1968's Night of the Living Dead, starring Dwayne Jones, Judith O'Day, and Carl Hardman. This is a fantastic movie. And for a black and white movie that's made in the 60s, it's much gorier than you think that it is. But where Romero really shined in this movie is his statement on racial relations within the movie. On the one hand, I'm very thankful to say that it doesn't immediately jump out at me in watching this movie in the 90s when I watched it that, holy shit, the lead to this movie is an African-American, because we've kind of worked
the 60s.
Yeah, we're kind of over that. But it is the 60s. And to have that ending, the way they end that movie, and just kind of show you what in the 60s it would have, for a white guy from New York to kind of tell you what it might have been like to be an African-American in the 60s in the way that he does it, and not have it come across as preachy. You know, we mentioned that with Get Out,
Dawn of the Dead,
and Dawn of the Dead, how they can make statements on society and not be preachy. Nobody could entertain you, frighten you, and enlighten you like Romero. And like I said, the climax of Night of the Living Dead, I think, proves that with the hardest hit of them all.
And this is another one where atmosphere and tone are just as big a characters as the zombie. Like, from the beginning in the graveyard, like, mm-hmm. that the tone is set. That this movie's creepy. The pacing, the tone, everything about it. And to do that in black and white, to establish that kind of atmosphere and that kind of tone without the use of colors is amazing. It's a Pittsburgh movie, so it's Dawn. So I mean, there's that sense of local kind of pride. Like, I like Pittsburgh a lot. It's so powerful, and it's timeless almost. Like, Tom Savini did a remake. Uh-huh. The remake's really, really good.
That Romero, I think, helped write.
Yeah, and I mean, it's such a good story, and it's very basic. Mm-hmm. Zombies come out. These people go to a house to survive. That's it. That's mm-hmm. your movie. But there's so much more to it than that. And
the human dynamics in there.
The human is a villain. The characters, like, again, I mean, we're coming across a lot of themes that are the same across a lot of these movies.
I guess that's to say that when horror is done well, you know, it checks those boxes, and this does that.
Yeah. Before we get to our number one, I just want to throw, is there anything in the going over the 50 or after you did the list, is there anything that hasn't been mentioned in a bonus list or hasn't come up in the 50 that maybe came up later or you regret not putting in? Is there anything that we haven't mentioned that you feel like you regret?
You know, I wanted to do this list because I had come across some other lists earlier in the year and I thought, I don't really agree with that. And I think selfishly, I was like, I can do a better job. And then I sat down to try and do this list.
Hard.
And I legit started to panic. Because that's it. You don't want to forget something for, you know, a genre that we both love so much. I mean, I could literally list hundreds of movies. Yeah. Hush was a great movie.
Yeah.
It didn't make my top 75.
See, I think of something like Housebound. I loved Housebound. Mm-hmm. I thought it was unique. I thought it was a breath of fresh air. I thought it was great. Kind of forgot about it. Would it have made our top 50? No, you didn't have it, and it would have been low on mine.
And what was the Irish one?
From the Dark?
Yes.
The vampire one?
Yeah.
That one almost made my top 40, and it didn't. I love that movie. Like, that's a really interesting vampire movie.
Yes.
Because it treats the vampires as a monster and not this, like, suave, like, humanized. Like, it takes the human part out of the vampire. And it had a badass female lead. Mm-hmm. Like, I love that movie. I love Housebound. Like, I kind of regret not having It Follows on there, but, like, I mean, It is so new.
Yeah.
I just wanted to take a second before we get to our number one to see if there's anything. And I know that after we record this and we hit update, like, I know.
I'll see a movie tomorrow and be like, oh, shit.
Yeah, we're going to think of a dozen more throughout the month. So.
Yeah. I think that
it was a fun exercise, though. Like, we haven't done anything like this before, and I don't regret it.
No. I think that in hindsight, we could have tackled it a better way by saying, at least taking it by decade, I think we'd had more of an opportunity to not leave anything out. But when you take our first movie was from 1922, our latest movie was from 2017. Pick 50 in that span.
That's 95 years.
Yeah, it is quite a task. So I'm sure there are things that we left out. It doesn't mean that we don't like it or it wouldn't be in our top 50. But I of all the lists we've ever done on this show, this is the one I've put the most effort into. So I really hope that I haven't forgotten anything or left it out.
And I mean, like Kronos, like stuff like that. That was on your list. I haven't mentioned it yet. I mean, there's a lot. So, I mean,
that was my attempt to have Guillermo del Toro represented.
Yes. Yeah. And that I couldn't pick between that or Devil's Backbone. So I was like, I'll just leave them both off. So, I mean, I just wanted to take that little side off to see if give us a chance to see, like, is there anything that jumps
out? Further review.
Yeah. And like Monster Squad, like I regret not bringing up with the Are They Horror Movies?
Because
it is, I guess, but I don't think of it like that.
I mean, if Gremlins is, I guess why
not?
And
House 2?
The second story?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good title for such a terrible movie.
I tell you, when you had Deep Star 6 on there, I was like, fuck you, because I was going to put House 2 on there just to fuck with you, but I didn't because I'm the bigger man. And that brings us to our number one, which is a movie that Dave and I put at number one on a lot of lists. It certainly was never in any danger of being forgotten.
It was my number one. It was your number two.
Yeah. So, I mean, it probably doesn't take a math genius to figure out that
we've done an episode on it.
Yes, we've done an episode on it. It is John Carpenter's The Thing from 1982, starring Kurt Russell, Keith David, and Wilford Brimley. You know, it's terrifying when you can see the monster in this movie. The head spider, the dog flower, the chest mouth, I mean, all of this shit is absolutely terrifying. But this movie is at its scariest when you can't see the monster.
Because you don't know who it is, you don't know where it is.
When you see,
the ultimate scary, the most scary thing for anybody, and whether you admit it or not, the most frightening thing in the world is the unknown.
Yeah. Not knowing where the danger is coming from. And you know, if you're watching Friday the 13th, you see the hockey mask. You
hear the
yeah, that too. You know somebody's about to get got. Somebody's in danger. But in The Thing, you don't know who's in danger and who's the monster until it's too late. And at that point, shit, yep, it's that guy. windows, fry them. And you couple that with the environment that can kill you.
The atmosphere.
Yeah.
Like we've
right. And you're completely surrounded with dread from a man who knows better than just about anyone what to do with it. Carpenter, I think when we did our director death match, I think he ended up winning.
With two in the top 10.
Romero
as well.
Romero, three in the top 15. So that's kind of it. Maybe when we did that, and that might have been our first
our
or
first
second
year.
Halloween, yeah. Maybe we discounted Romero. And maybe that's the one thing that I would regret, especially having lost Romero this year. But I'm not at all surprised, or I wouldn't feel bad trying to defend The Thing as being the greatest horror movie of all time, because it's goddamn terrifying.
This is another one of those. It's a top 10 movie ever for me. Not only would I not argue that it's the greatest horror movie ever made, if somebody says, like, oh, The Thing's the greatest movie ever made, I'm listening. I'm listening, because I can't really argue it that much. For everything it does perfectly, from the effects to the acting to the pacing to the story, other than the one guy just disappearing and never.
Yeah.
But I love it. The ending, it's kind of open to where I love that. Like, I love this movie.
Who is it? Is it either of them? Is it neither of them? Yeah. That's how you do horror.
Yeah.
I think so.
That's how you do October.
Yeah, right. Not that we're done with October.
Next week is our fantastic, what would this be, our third or fourth Halloween special? I think it's our third.
We did, I don't know.
Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, and then Adultergeist and Cask of the Amontillado. And then whatever we do next week, it is our Halloween special. Maybe not super movie-centric. We've talked about, goddamn, probably 100 movies this month so far. Mm-hmm. So forgive us if we kind of take a week off of movies next week and do something a little different. You can check out our past two Halloween specials on our site. Like, we just try to do something a little different. This year will be different as well, so much so that it might surprise you, because it's gonna surprise us, I'm sure. But yeah, anyway, thank you. This is we haven't done this before, where our lists top out at 5. Yeah. Usually maybe the end of the year we'll do 10,
right?
But this was fun. This was a blast. Bummer that it's not the kind of thing we can do every year, because I would be happy to do it again next October. But now we're kind of maxed out for ideas. So
The Thing will probably be number one again.
I don't know what we're going to do for next October. But until then, we still have next week to round out October.
Sure.
And then into the home stretch of the year.
And those are all pretty planned out. I mean, we've got the standard stuff we do in December. Really, I guess it's in January.
January.
Yeah, wrap-up of the year, uppies, stuff like that. But October is always a fun month for us.
My favorite.
Yeah, this was kind of a big project, a big undertaking. It was fun to do. I'm glad it's done. And now if anybody ever asks me, like, what are my favorite horror movies, like, I don't have to tell them. I'll just point them.
Here's 8 weeks.
Yeah, exactly. Here's a good two and a half hours to listen to, and I'll tell you not only my favorite, I'll tell you top 50. So we hope that you guys had as much fun with this as we did. If you have any thoughts on the list, you know, feel free to reach out to us. We'd love to hear your thoughts, what you thought should have been higher, what your surprise wasn't on the list, or what your surprise was on the list. You can get at us probably the best, moviesonup@gmail.com, or, you know, tweet your shorter responses to us at Twitter. You guys are idiots.
Hey, it's going at movies 280 on characters, so you can make them longer.
Oh, excellent. So it's like a double twat, right?
Yeah.
Okay. That's it for the top 50, but we'll come back next week with our
very special Halloween,
Halloween extravaganza. But until then,
keep it up.